This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Good morning. I would like to say for our radio audiences that this is Raymond Charles Barker speaking to you from the beautiful Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. And I wish all our radio good friends would visit us once in a while. Usually outside afterwards, I get 10 or 12 people say it's the first time they were here and they've been listening to me on radio for years. And I'm always delighted to meet them. Now, the whole world is disturbed, confused, and is trying to find something of the good. And we're the people that know it and have it. Because our attention is always on that which is good, that which is right, that which is loving, that which is creative. Because we know that every individual has this, is this, and can share it within his experience. You and I are the inlet and the outlet of the mind and the heart of God. We are spiritual, we are complete, we are fulfilled by that mind acting in us and through us when we know it. All right, let's be still and know it. I am the inlet and the outlet of the mind and the heart of all being. Great ideas circulate in my consciousness. They heal, they bless, they prosper. They renew me. They refresh me. They restore my faith in the good. So I now have faith in the good. Faith in God, faith in life. No more fear. I am at peace with myself, and I am at peace with everyone else. All right, subconscious mind, you have it. So it is. All right, we're going to turn to the third inside page of our program. You will note that we have the same song this month we have had for the last few months. And we like it. Also, you sing it well, which is a great boon. All right, here are the words to the first verse. We build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future. Our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on patterns formed today. All right, shall we then stand and sing it with authority? I've got a topic this morning I really like. I often tell you I don't like the topic, but today I like it. I'm going to talk on, quote, the wonder of you, because you are wonderful. Now, we've had thousands of years of consistent teaching that man was no good. He was born in sin, born to sin, and would go to hell. So, we've had it down through the ages. It didn't just start with Christianity. It's as far back as you can find out in history of religious thought. Now, about 1860, we reversed this whole thing. Our early teachers realized that that wasn't so. That man is a spiritual idea, and he is wonderful. He was not born in sin, he was born in love. He was not born to sin, he was born to live a full, productive life and make a lot of mistakes along the way, as we all have. And there's no hell to go to. So anyone you wished to have go there, they're not there. See? Now, the wonder of you. You're the only form of life that can create. All other forms of life only procreate. They can produce offspring. You and I are people who can create out of our own consciousness. And that's how we are in this hall today, created by great architects. No dog, no cat, no horse could create this hall. But the architects could and did. Because man is a creative being. And he is free to create both good and evil. Absolutely free. The infinite mind which created the individual leaves the individual free to do what he wants, even if what he wants to do is destructive. Now, when the individual awakens, he doesn't want to do the destructive things. He wants to be a co-creator with the infinite intelligence, the infinite love, and the infinite goodness. That's what Ernest Holmes says in our basic text, The Science of Mind, that man is a co-creator with the infinite. That man does on the plane of the infinite what the infinite does on the plane of the universal. And so we have this great infinite knowing, feeling, presence, which created a cosmic order and is still expanding it. And it created you and myself. And we are able to create what you want and I want. So I came here to New York in 1946 and started the creation of this organization. Started with a handful. They were enthusiastic, but they weren't many. I remember our second Sunday in February of that year, when, to our utter amazement, we sold one Science of Mind textbook. And in those days, it was $5. Today, it's $10. It was a great feat. We had started something. We had sold a book. A book. It was great fun. Now, the early days weren't easy, but when are there ever really easy days? Still isn't easy. Except that now that it's free of poverty, we have enough crowd to pay our bills, it's fun. And keep on paying them, please. Now, you in your own world have created things, situations, events. Some of you have created businesses. Some of you have created specialized jobs. Some of you have done everything. These were things which you contemplated, things which you wanted, and things which you did. So you are the wonder of life. I am the wonder of life because we can create. Now, we're also free to sit back and complain. We can do that. Years ago, we don't carry it, but years ago, Dr. Bales, one of our great minds, put out a booklet called The Mopers, Dopers, and I know something else, Hopers, meaning the people that never do anything. Yeah. And at the time, it was a very impressive booklet. I don't even know if it's in existence. Anyway, you don't need it. You see, mopers, hopers, and dopers don't stay around me very long. They go somewhere where everything is beautiful and peaceful and loving and gooey. That's what they want. That's where they go. I don't care. Now, we have to accept the responsibility of our own creations. You are a conscious mind functioning in a subconscious arena, which is a law of action. That's why this is a science. You are a conscious mind functioning in a subconscious area of action. And that's the play of life upon itself. That's the play of life upon itself. You are, for 16 hours a day, you are consciously thinking, subconsciously reacting, and the combination is always productive. Good or bad, right or wrong. This is what we call the play of life upon itself. We are never free of it during any waking hour. This great interaction of conscious and subconscious mind. Now, this is a divine gift. It is the action of life in us, the action of intelligence, which has nothing to do with education. Intelligence is separate from it. And we all have it. And I am not decreeing education because it's wonderful what it's done, is doing, and will do. Life is intelligence in action when you use life intelligently. And when you don't use it intelligently, it is stupid. Ridiculous. Sometime this afternoon, take 1 minute only because it's negative, and think of the people you know that are not using life intelligently. And they'll be the complainers. Because everything is wrong, but they're all right. Of course, that isn't so. They have the same intelligence, the same creative ability, the same emotional and mental capacity, and they just aren't doing anything with it. And so they sit back and say, here, look at me. And? So you look at them. They're usually boring. They're usually repetitive. They usually tell you the same thing over and over again. And do they want to hear about this? Oh, no, no, no. They don't want to hear about this. That might make them think a little. That they don't want to do. Lots of people don't want to do any deliberate, real thinking. And the way they go through a single day indicates it. That they really don't care. Now, you and I are thinkers. We are emotion. We are the creative process. We're the whole thing. That's why the Bible says we're the image and likeness of God. And Jesus quoted from the Psalms and said, "Know ye not that ye are the sons of God?" Today we would say the sons and daughters. There wasn't any liberation movement in his day. So, because that's exactly what we are. Not son in the sense of a child, but son in the sense of total expression of possibility. Now, the world out there says, "Oh, at my age, why?" All right, then don't. Go right on in your rut, your routine. You know, go ahead. But for those who want, and you people wanted, you wouldn't be here, a more creative, fulfilling, happier life, it's yours. But you have to create it. I wish I could do it for you, but I can't. See, every great world savior has said that he or she would do it for the people, but they never did. One great teacher said that he came to save me from my sins. Never worked. Oh, I'll get letters on that. Now, it's the individual and not the collective unit that changes the world. It's the individual and not the collective world that changes the world. And so Edison, as an individual, created his great, I call them miracles because I could never do them. As an individual. And all the rest. Now, the world always resists individual new thinking. And so the automobile would never stay, and the plane of the Wright brothers would never get off the ground. The whole world said so, including your great-grandfather, who was just sure of it. Nice guy, but he couldn't see an evolving situation. You and I are always in the process of evolution. We are not yet finished. We are still in the process of growth, evolution. Now, evolution, in an abstract sense, is the evolving of ideas always producing something greater than that which has gone before. So, in 3 years, your present refrigerator will be absolutely obsolete. And people go into your kitchen and say, "That old thing?" Yeah. Maybe 5 years. Because they're building better refrigerators, I assume. At least the way the advertisements read, they seem to be. And the better car, the better everything. Ideas are the evolutionary process. And ideas in you are the evolutionary process. And we grow when we stimulate new ideas. New concepts, new everything. Now, we retain the good of the past. That's wisdom. But we're no longer enthralled by it and limited by it. You see? Now, I might have, I guess I have, I don't know whether I have, but anyway, a wonderful old piece of china, back from grandma's day. And I give a party and somebody drops it and it goes into many pieces. So what do? I sweep it up and say, "Forget it, I don't care." I can let go of that. Now, some people would burst into tears would have a terrible time, and after all the guests had gone, they would run the person down who did it. Clumsy, no good, never was any good. Now, I liked that lovely old plate or whatever it was, but I was not limited by it. I could live without it. And creatively and happily. No, I like the past. All the good of the past I enjoy. But I am still going ahead. I'm not looking back. I'm going ahead. Using the best of the past into a progressively better experience in my individual life. Because I have to do it individually. You have to do it individually. This we forget when we join up with great causes. And I like great causes. But it's the individual who created it and heads it that is the vital thing. Think of the tremendous power that a Helen Keller had. Creatively, dynamically, wonderfully. And you could name any other. Now, the whole thing is individual, the whole thing is spiritual, the whole thing is intelligence and emotion, and it's that simple. And yet it's that hard to do. So, a person said to me during the past week that they had wanted to move to another state, Florida, but they weren't going to because I had been such a help to them. And so on. And I said to him, you go to Florida right now. Don't you get addicted to Barker. Don't get addicted. Go to Florida. Now, if you stay in New York, fine. I'll see you every Sunday. Rejoice with you. But if the only reason you're staying here is an addiction, then get out. They're going to stay, by the way. How many times have I said on the radio and to our own audiences, don't come more than twice or you'll get the bug. It'll get you. And then heaven help us. And of course, we're delighted when somebody gets the bug because they go out and buy every book on the table. Too bad we don't sell bookcases. We like that. Now, it's the individual who can benefit the collective group, yes. Yes, give it guidelines. Give it goals, give it purpose, give it meaning. But it starts with me. Dr. Bales used to quote a rather unimpressive little bit of poetry. In the center of the circle of the will of God, I stand. In the center of the circle of the will of God, I stand. Now, please remember the will, if you look it up in the dictionary, means the capacity of choice. In the center of the freedom of choice, I stand. We've always used that name will incorrectly. Willpower. There is no such thing as willpower. Will is a capacity to choose, to select. Go home and look it up in the dictionary. So we say to a person, well, you could stop this or that if you only had some willpower. No, I couldn't. Willpower has nothing to do with it. When they decide to select the opposite to what they're doing that we think is so wrong, then they'll do it. Then they'll do it. In the center of the circle of the freedom of decision, I stand. Free. Now that's the wonder of you. Your body, we talked about a few weeks ago, it's magnificent. It certainly took a divine intelligence to create it. Remember, you started as two minute cells that have never yet been seen. They came together in your mother's body. And here you are, years later. And remember, you didn't want to be born. That's why you came out screaming. And if you didn't, they got you with a little slap so you'd get rid of your emotion. So, you started with as two cells, and you have this magnificent vehicle, which you either use intelligently or don't use intelligently. And apparently, millions of people don't use it intelligently because everybody buys books on diet, doesn't read them. You know,
they're there.
They're to be referred to occasionally. And it's always tomorrow. Yep. Now, in the center of the circle of the freedom of choice, I stand. Now, if you're one of those people that let everybody else in the world make your decisions for you, then you're not in the center of that circle. Or rather, you're there, but you don't know it. Often say to yourself, whenever you're doing something, why am I doing this? And it may startle you to realize you have no real reason. You know, I have people urge me to see certain Broadway productions and certain movies, and I pause and think, well, do I really want it? If I really do want it, then I'll go. And if I don't really want it, I don't go just because they told me so. Oh, you shouldn't miss it. You shouldn't miss it. You shouldn't miss it. Well, I'm going to miss it. I make my own decision. Many people haven't made a real decision all their lives. Their parents have made them for them until they got married, and then the wife or the husband made them for them. And still are doing it. I've had many people in mourning say to me, well, Dr. Barker, now I'll have to make my own decisions. I said, yes. And they thought of it as a very chilling. The fact, they had to make their own decision now. They didn't have Charlie or Mary to tell them what to do. Now, naturally, they mourned Charlie or Mary as they should. But there is that point at the center of life where I have to decide. And so I say to the friends, all right, I think I'll go and see that. Or I say, no, I'm not going. And they, why? Because I don't want to. That's all. Of course, they look at me horrified. It's like years ago when I stopped accepting dinner invitations. In this capacity of mine as a clergyman, you get untold invitations to dinner, to lunches, to brunches, to everything else. So years ago, I drew the line. Because every time they invite you to dinner, they expect you to give a 40-minute metaphysical lecture during dinner. And they say, you know, my aunt has back trouble. What would be the cause of that? So I stopped it years ago. And these were nice people. These were nice people, and they offered very good food. You know. Now, I learned to do what I want to do. And 98% of what I want to do is fairly intelligent, fairly creative, and not too destructive. Now, You and I are in this circulation of life, but we're in it as individuals. We are in New York, but we are individual New Yorkers. Each one of us different. Yet we have a group name to cover, because we do that with geography. We do it with all things. And that's necessary to the function of being. But at the center, I am individual with choice. And you are. I have an itchy nose, and I don't know why. There's no fool here to kiss. My mother always told me when I had an itchy nose, I was going to kiss a fool. So, ladies, you better stay away from me outside later. Now, I think it's better. Individuality is the most sacred name or word, rather, there is in the English language. You're going to say, well, is it more sacred than the word God? No, because it is God. Is it more sacred than the word spirit? Yes, because it's clearer in its definition. The term spirit is so vague. I often define it as conscious intelligence rightly used. If you mean that, then it's spirit. But not the vagaries. The wonder of you and the wonder of myself. Fascinating. And we need to emphasize it because the whole world is thinking the other way. Years ago at one of our seminars on a beautiful estate upstate, some other people were there, and two of our people heard what they said as they went by. There's a large group of us. And they said, you know, those are the people that think they're God. We did. We do. Because the creative process is individualized. And it gives of itself without any limitation. It is what Holmes calls a divine givingness. And it's wonderful. So contemplate yourself as idea. It's an abstraction, but you can do it. What am I when I do not define myself merely in terms of body? Now, I am body. I'm very glad I have it. But the body can't walk on this stage unless I walk it. And later, outside, it can't shake hands unless I shake hands. Yeah. We had a brilliant speaker years ago, now long since gone. And I had people say to me, you know, I went to hear that man for a long, long time. And I always got a great deal of good. But one Sunday, he was at the door standing, shaking hands. And she said, one handshake and I never went back. Because he didn't shake hands. He had a hand and you could do with it what you wanted. And it was not from any physical cause. He just put out a hand and you shook it. With no emphasis on his part whatsoever. As I say, it was not a case of paralysis or anything. It was just a case of lack of That's all. And then a lot of these people, I don't mean handshaker, the people have no oomph. You and I have oomph. Because we see ourselves as a divine creation. The image and the likeness of the creative process. That which says, I am. While of you I can only say you are. The only person I can say I am for is myself. I can't use it for another living soul. It is my statement of spiritual individuality. I am. So I am the creative process. when I am aware of it and use it. I am trouble when I am aware of it and keep it going. And you know, lots of people would be lost without trouble. I once wanted to say to a person who, with the repetition of the story all the time, I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, what would you talk about if you didn't talk about this? And I'm sure they would have almost nothing to talk about. Because they had so exercised their problem and their imagination on it that they were completely immersed in it. You suggest they read something new? No. Do something new? No. So people like that, I just leave alone. If they want to rot, fine. If they want to just stay in their little shell, great. But I don't want to stay in a shell. I don't want to stay in a rut. And I'm not in a rut. Nor am I in a shell. I'm all right. I'm creative, productive. And if I weren't, you people wouldn't come and hear me every Sunday. I have to stay on my toes. And I do it by knowing that I am the wonder of it all. And you are the wonder of it all. And every person on the face of this globe is the wonder of it all when they decide they're going to know it. And until then, they can grumble. And that's their own business. Because we have free choice. All right? The wonder of it all, the glory of it all. Some years ago, I took a very popular phrase and changed it. And in those days, it disturbed people. It won't today. When I took, "For mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Mine. "For thine, mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the expanding greatness of the evolving consciousness." You're wonderful. All right, so endeth the lesson. Thank you. You are always very appreciative, and I thank you. The time has now come to receive the morning collection. We ask that you do it happily, with joy, and with prosperity. We shall use it with wisdom. right, we're going to have our usual busy week. And all of the activities I'm describing take place in our own building, which we own, operate. And that building, for the radio audience, if you want to write us, is at 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York. And the zip is 10017. All right, we're going to have a busy week. 6 o'clock tonight, Mr. Fritz Herman speaks at 14 East 48th Street. Tomorrow noon, Reverend Stuart Grayson will speak instead of Eric Pace, who's out at a religious science convention on the West Coast. So our good Stuart will be speaking Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And Mr. Herman's on Friday, and he will also speak on Saturday, as that man is also out at the convention. All right, it's the first of the month. Get your magazines and your other things you need out there at the good table. Please note on the back of your program, a box there, and it says, again, available in paperback. A book, The Conquest of Frustration, which I wrote along with Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It's a honey. It was sold in hardcover for years, and then the publisher decided to discontinue it. I don't know why. At any rate, it's put out by a very fine house, Ballantine Books Today, and has tremendous distribution. So, you ought to have it if you don't own it. The Conquest of Frustration by Dr. Barker and Dr. Maltz. It's $1.75, and you all can afford $1.75. You'll spend more than that on lunch today. You know. So write in for it, and you people here can get it outside on the book tables. A thing that intrigued me, as I was talking with one of our workers who handles the cassettes, last Sunday we brought down, I think, 12, 20 extra Easter cassette tapes, thinking that everybody would want it. Now, I thought the spectacular music and my fairly good, well, it was better than that. It was a good talk. Everybody wanted, they didn't. Anyway, today's cassette tape will be available starting Wednesday, and you can get it next Sunday here. Now, we have something outside that is interesting. We're going to have a New Thought convention from all over the country, Canada and England, the week of July 4th, and it'll be at the Hilton Hotel. We sent out through the mail this past week a folder which was published by the International New Thought Alliance, which I thought was completely confusing. Now, the Reverend Mr. Grayson is a genius. He put it all on a single sheet so it's completely understandable. These sheets are available outside. It tells you everything that's going on, when it's going on, and the whole bit. And it takes all the confusion out of that other. Well, anyway. We didn't print it. That was printed in Los Angeles and shipped to us. This Stuart arranged, and it is a complete explanation. It's just joyous. So get one. Take it home. Now, the Congress will run from Sunday the 4th through Friday night the 9th, and then a large group of us on the 10th are going to go over to the new terminal on the Hudson River and get on the beautiful ship, the SS Stettendam, and we're off for a week with a seminar in which Mr. Pace and I will be speaking every morning. This is open to anyone who'd like to come. I'd like to say that Mrs. Elsie Jacobson of the travel agency is outside this morning. She can show you floor plans, make suggestions, tell you many details. And if you'd like to come along, do. Now, if you wait until the middle of June to make up your mind, there won't be any mind to make up because all the cabins will be gone. They're going that way now. So now is the appointed time, as the good book says. Yeah. It does say it, too. All right, that's enough announcements. Now let's come back. The wonder of individuality. The immensity of the concept, if we'll only work it out. Because the whole world shouts at me that I am age, number, and bank account. That's what the world says. Age, number, and bank account. So I am a certain age, don't mind it a bit. I have a social security number, which is a nice necessity. I have a bank account, and you're not going to find out how much is in it either. Snoopy. Now, the wonder of it all, I am not just what I have said. Age, number, bank account. I am a creative self with the capacity of creative self-expression. And why am I this way? Because God did it. I had nothing to do with it. I did not create myself. But an infinite something, which we've called God down through the ages, created us out of itself and left us free to evolve, to create, to produce the good and the wonderful. And that's what we're doing. All right, let's stand for our closing idea together. There is a wonder to the whole thing, to life, to love, to beauty, to creativity, to everything. And you and I are the appreciators of all that life is and all that good is and everything that is exciting. So, we go out of here walking tall, thinking grandly, and expecting everything good to happen, because it's going to. All right, so it is, and thank you for coming.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.